Dear beloved Creator, source of all, thank you for this growing gathering of souls who are seeing through the veil of deceptions. There are layers upon layers of them, and while we do not see them all, enough seeing is enough to spur us to action. We pray for our fellows who are compromised in any way, so they may heal and join the actions we are guided to address. And in acknowledging you, beloved Creator, we are reminded that the love you give is the face of what we must consciously present in all that we do here now. And so it is.
Thank you, Charlie. My name's Ron Vroman. I'm the old white man talking head for the Oregon Statewide Jural Assembly. We're talking about getting along and doing the best you can with those you're with and making our way through this to a constitutional republican form of government. So when we're thinking about it, what difference does it make that I have a 14-page status report that I did in 2014 or 2015, and I copyrighted it. I did everything that I can to make that as tight as it could be. And all these years later, I find out that living testimony in the form of an affidavit of truth, saying what you want to say and signed by yourself properly, in red with the red thumbprint and with two witnesses, and you have a document every bit as strong as that 14 pager. The same goes with all of the other documents that are required by everybody to be into their club. And I say club because that's what they turn out to be, it looks like. There's a difference between a social compact and a society. There's a difference between a society and an assembly. We're an assembly that has formed a social compact. We're doing it. Everybody else that I have run across in this patriot, pseudo-revolutionary, abolishing the de facto rabbit hole that we're down, all of them, except one, have a sold membership. They sell product to make money to survive. They're more of a business than they are a social compact to form a constitutional republican form of government. But if they want to join us and do what we're doing, we're glad to see them, all of them. And if you, in your obstinance, refuse to see that if whatever you're associated or affiliated with right now is not guiding you into a Jural Assembly where you can form a jury base that's large enough to hold a grand jury and a petite jury, and do the work. That's what it takes. And I don't find anybody else doing the work. A lot of them talk about it, but we really need them to do the work. We can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Nobody can do it for you. We have to do this together. Even if we don't like each other, do we like each other enough that we can work together to return to a de jure form of government and abolish the de facto? That's where it's at. Evil can be in the de jure. If evil hides itself, it can be anywhere, and evil does. Evil also stands out in the open and challenges. That's what de facto is. You have to comprehend that it's mindset. I believe that the legislature, the judiciary, and the executive, and all the sheriffs and the DAs and all the rest of them know that they're working for a corporation. And they're not public servants. They're serving the corporation. And they are not government. They pretend. They take a false oath to a false constitution and pretend. And if they do a really good job of pretending, well, then you think that sheriff is different or that cop is a good cop. There are no good cops. There's only cops that wish they were good. Because all cops know who the bad cops are. But instead of taking them out, they all close ranks with the thin blue line and protect those bad cops. I don't know why, but they do. Something about going through the door for you or whatever it is, the camaraderie of the military, I guess. That's not it. You don't get to take a false oath and support a corporation that you have people believing is government, and you just shine them on. Because you're a cop. However far you get into that, you know where the bad cops are and you don't do anything about it. That's misprision of felony. Exactly like the sheriffs. They sell concealed carry permits, therefore they broke their oath. There are no good cops. There's no good DAs. I'll go as far as to say there is no good bar attorneys. They're carrying too much bad baggage to be good, including my granddaughter. Sad to say, she said, Gramps, they don't teach that in law school. And she's right, they don't. I found out years ago when I was a young man and this whole thing was going down one more time a long time ago. And they said that Harvard didn't have an ethics class that it taught the attorneys that were going to law school there. Wow, can you imagine that? No need to teach attorneys ethics. We'll just teach them law and substitute that for ethics. Ooh, That ought to be interesting. Didn't work. The law form of he who can be deceived, let him, has let us down. They have flipped it into, yes, sir. Yes, sir, master. Yes, sir. I was going too fast. Here's my driver's license. Here's my registration. Here's my proof of insurance. And pretty please don't. Yes, I'll get out of the car and put my hands behind my back. I'll do anything you want. Please. Doesn't make any difference if the charge was true. Most of the people will not fight City Hall. They'll just accept it, keep their mouth shut, do as they're told, pay the fine, accept the penalty. Those kind of people we do not want in our assembly. It's hard enough to be brave when you're standing around with a lot of brave people. You can't have people folding up when you're supposed to be holding the line. You got to trust the person beside you. How can you trust people that will follow a known lie? Charlie and I did a recording for a guy that's got a channel in an organization, and he's doing quite well, beating the drum for a Republican constitutional form of government. But he would rather remove a truth that would cause somebody else trouble than to print it. It's his channel, but golly, it seems like the First Amendment's in there somewhere. Does he really have the right to delete my words? I don't know. The truth is supposed to be what overshadows everything. If the truth is supposed to win, then how is it that they can remove the truth? Hard to understand that one. And then along comes Elon Musk. His whole fortune from one end to the other is based on really bright things that he has thought of and done, profitable. But when he really started making money is when he started doing business with the United States Incorporated Governance, the color of law outfit that's running the space age. Electric cars, give me a break. You look at what it costs to mine the material that they use for their batteries, and you take a look at that, and then after you make it, you have to charge it and charge it and charge it again. And where do you get the material to charge it? Called fuel. Yep. Natural gas, coal. Because we already know that windmills and solar are not going to do it. They're not going to get us through. They are doing their very best to kill us. Now, they had the Georgia Guidestones for a long time. I met a guy on the internet who said that L. Ron Hubbard is the one who paid for the Georgia Guidestones. But they're gone now. disappeared. No more does it say reduce the population to 500 million. Doesn't say that anymore. That's all gone. Pretty soon it'll be erased from the internet if they want to erase it, and that'll be all gone. And then in a few years, it'll all be forgotten, and nobody will pay attention. We have to pay attention now. We have to take this from de facto to de jure now. We can't do this at another time. Each one of us has to make the decision that that's what we want to do. And that group making that decision has to reach critical mass of 3% to make it happen. So that 3% on Oregon gets Oregon done. But then we have to get 33 additional states that are members of the Confederation and Perpetual Union named the United States of America. That's got to happen. And there's outfits with assemblies on every state. But it takes 5 or 6 people to do the job, to get the paperwork done, and you honestly do not have the paperwork done anywhere. And so far, there has been 0 rebuttals to what we're doing. So when you're offered something at a really good price, and free is a very good price, that you have to spend 5 people, 15 hours, $50 for postage, $40 for a seal, wait 21 days and you have your paperwork done, you are the same as Article 1, Section 1 on your state or territory. We are in a position to revive, reestablish the United States of America in Congress assembled. We're ready to do it. There's been a lot of them ready to do it before we ever got here, but it's never happened. Something always makes it fall apart. We were in it with Jim Wright. That's fallen apart 2 or 3 times from what I understand. Anna doesn't want it to happen, or it would have happened for her organization is large enough and big enough to get the job done right now. But she doesn't want it to happen, so it's not going to go. I've notified all of the state directors many, many times. Maybe not all. 80% of all. Not the same 80% all the time. I don't have a list of them. I have to remember and punch buttons. And I kind of like to do that. Challenge myself, how many of the 33 states and 17 territories can I remember? And then remember the code of how the coordinator for each of the states is listed so that I can get an email to them. Doesn't do much good. Their mindset isn't quite to the point where they comprehend that a man or a woman with their children on the land and soil without ruler and without subject is a sovereign being They give credit to God for their unalienable rights and do their best to move on. And that's what we're doing right now. Please move off of any points where you think we have maybe done you wrong and address anything that we are doing that is causing you apprehension. We need to get this show together. And we need all of you that are organized in all of the other venues to comprehend that it takes a general assembly to do this. An assembly for another purpose is not going to get the job done. You've got to have two things. You have to have the goal. The goal is to return to a constitutional Republican form of government this year, 2022. That's the goal. And what we're running away from with all of the might that we can put together is the de facto color of law, incorporated governance that we have had in a benevolent form of martial law for over 100 years, and it's now turned malevolent, and all it takes is to nullify their de facto law form and embrace the de jure law form. Helps if you know what I'm talking about. So, I hope this is close enough for a show that William can put the pieces together. We're going to do our very best on Oregon. We hope the rest of you do the very best you can on your states and on your territories. And contact us. Any one of us in the assembly is here to help. www.orsja.org. And I yield.
Ex parte Milligan, 71 U.S. 4 Wall 2, 1866, was a landmark decision of the U.S. Supreme Court that ruled the application of military tribunals to citizens when civilian courts are still operating as unconstitutional. In this particular case, the court was unwilling to give President Abraham Lincoln's administration the power of military commission jurisdiction, part of the administration's controversial plan to deal with Union dissenters during the American Civil War. Justice David Davis, who delivered the majority opinion, stated that martial rule can never exist when the courts are open, and confined martial law to areas of military operations where war really prevails, and when it was a necessity to provide a substitute for a civil authority that had been overthrown. Chief Justice Salmon P. Chase and three associate justices filed a separate opinion, concurring with the majority in the judgment, but asserted that Congress had the power to authorize a military commission, although it had not done so in Milligan's case. The landmark case stemmed from a trial by a military commission of Lambden P. Milligan, for whom the case is named, Stephen Horsey, William A. Bowles, and Andrew Humphreys, that convened at Indianapolis on October 21, 1864. The charges against the men included, among others, conspiracy against the U.S. government, offering aid and comfort to the Confederates, and inciting rebellion. On December 10, 1864, Milligan, Bowles, and Horsey were found guilty on all charges and sentenced to hang. Humphreys was found guilty and sentenced to hard labor for the remainder of the war. The sentence for Humphreys was later modified, allowing his release. President Andrew Johnson commuted the sentences for Milligan, Bowles, and Horsey to life imprisonment. On May 10, 1865, Milligan's legal counsel filed a petition in the Circuit Court of the United States for the District of Indiana at Indianapolis for a writ of habeas corpus, which called for a justification of Milligan's arrest. A similar petition was filed on behalf of Bowles and Horsey. The two judges who reviewed Milligan's petition disagreed about the issue of whether the U.S. Constitution prohibited civilians from being tried by a military commission and passed the case to the U.S. Supreme Court. The case was argued before the court on March 5th and March 13th, 1866. Its decision was handed down on April 3rd, 1866. Prepared by Francis Lieber, promulgated as General Orders No. 100 by President Lincoln, 24th of April, 1863, Instructions for the Government of Armies of the United States in the Field, prepared by Francis Lieber, LLD, originally issued as General Orders No. 100, Adjutant General's Office, 1863, Washington, 1898, Government Printing Office. Article 1, Section 1 of Oregon's Constitution, Natural Rights Inherent in People. We declare that all men, when they form a social compact, are equal in right, that all power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness, and they have at all times a right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they may think proper. This is taken from OregonLaws.org.
They do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
And then the bullets started flying. Then he jumps out of the car. And he's got both his hands up.
And he got out of the car, and he had his hands in the air. He's like, just shoot me then. This is what you want, just shoot me. And they did. They shot him dead. With his hands in the air, and I fought. I swear to God. He's just walking with his hands in the air. And they shot him. And they shot him dead. And then after he was down on the ground, shot him 3 more times.